look up the scriptures on your device. That's perfectly fine. If you just want to listen to the scriptures as I read it today, you're invited to do that as well. Sometimes that's the best way of hearing the scriptures, just listening to it and letting God's word speak to you. And sometimes it'll kind of paint a picture in your mind of what it is saying. I was talking to somebody recently that talked about how kind of a prayer exercise, it was that sort of thing where in prayer, when they were talking to the Lord, it's almost as if the Lord painted a picture in their mind of some spiritual truth or some good news. And it was almost as if it was so clear, that mental picture, that they could draw a picture of it. And I thought that's a really cool way of thinking about prayer and how it is that we can interact with the Lord in prayer in different ways. This is the last of a series of messages that I've been preaching out of Old Testament passages that are basically replanting lessons. That's how I'm framing it. And the particular passages that I've read from, you know, are not necessarily replanting passages in the Bible, but it definitely talks about God at work. And that's what replanting is. It's God at work in and among his people. And so as a church here at Robertsville, we entered onto a journey of replanting over a year ago, but in March of this past year, we relaunched our church and acknowledged that God was doing a work here in our church. And that work was replanting. God was replanting us. And a couple of things that means for our church is, number one, it reordered our priorities as a church. And number two, it reconnected us to the community around us. And both of those two things have just come to life in my experience here and in my relationships with you. And I believe that for some of you, you would testify that those very things are happening and you can see the fruit of it. And so it's exciting to be a part of what God is doing here through replanting. Let me mention just off topic here for a minute. We are in the midst, at the end of the year, this is something we do every year, we're in the midst of presenting our proposed budget, ministry budget. That's, in other words, our ministry budget basically tells us as a people, here's where our finances, the material wealth that we give to God, here's how we believe God wants that to be used. And so that budget is basically a guideline for us. And so we are prepared, that document is prepared through much prayer and work, and was presented to the church a couple of weeks ago. And on December the 3rd, in our Sunday morning service, at the end of the service, our church will basically have an opportunity to affirm that proposed budget. And so I want to let you know that, because I want you to know what you're saying yes to. And so that budget is located on the table as you exit the sanctuary on the right. And so be sure to take a copy, and just so that you can know and be praying about and see how it is that the Lord wants you to participate in the work of our church in ministry and in giving. So I wanted to share that with you today. Let me move into the passage for today, the story from the Old Testament. It's out of the book of Judges. And the fourth chapter there has this story of two remarkable women. And I call them mighty women of God. And that's the title of my message today. I want to share a message with you about what I believe is kind of this mighty thing that God does in and through women. And it's not that God doesn't work through men, but I think that a lot of times, and over the years and centuries, you know, men have kind of gotten the limelight, so to speak. But I want to tell you, God does a work in and through women that is a mighty work. And I want to preach about that today. A depiction of ancient times and customs can sometimes leave us scratching our heads. And as I read through this story today, you might find yourself kind of scratching your head and thinking, man, that just doesn't, I have a hard time relating to that. Sometimes those old stories, the old customs, the way it's described, it can seem barbaric. It can seem brutal. It can seem primitive. And it can seem unenlightened. Ancient behaviors and attitudes seem foreign to us in 2023. And then We remember there's war. And barbarism and brutality are revived again in our time. No one is left untouched. Men and women, young and old, are killed and maimed and damaged. But I want to say that my attention today is not on war and its effects. My attention is on what the Lord does to position and equip women for the battle. Now, remember, our battle is with what the devil wants to do to tear apart what God wants to do. And so as a replanted church, we understand that we are positioned here. God has placed us here now for over 75 years, I think, for a particular purpose. And that is to step into that battle against God's enemy and to give ourselves to that work that Jesus does in communities like ours, to push back the darkness that has pervaded the area. And we can see that in people's lives and in other ways, how just the devil's darkness has taken a hold. And so our battle is with the devil. It's with what the devil wants to do to tear apart what God wants to do. And we want to join the Lord in doing that battle, right? And replanting has placed us right in the center of that battle. We want the light of Christ. Now hear this. We want the light of Christ to enter into where the devil's darkness has taken a hold. And really, as a church, as a replanted church, there's no going back. The Lord has put us on that line, on that front line, if you would, that separates the kingdom of darkness from the kingdom of light. And so that's where I'm coming from today in terms of that idea of battle. Okay, it's spiritual battle, but it's also very real. Okay, I want to refer to this story in Judges, and particularly it involves two women, Deborah, who was the leader of the Israelites, and Jael, who was just an ordinary woman who discovered her ability to do the unthinkable. So let me read the story and then share some thoughts. I'll pick up in verse 4 if you're following along. It says this. Now Deborah, and before I read, let me say this. I'm going to skip just some words that don't really pertain to where I want to go with my message. And so as you're reading along, you'll see I'll skip some words that are related to locations and other kind of identifying descriptions. All right, picking up in verse 4. Now Deborah, a prophet, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites, are the old ancient people that today we would call the Israelites. And so the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. Now the time came, she sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands this to you. Go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I, Deborah says, will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands there." Basically, what Deborah, the leader of the people, is saying is, I'm going to go out to distract our enemy, Sisera, and get Sisera and all of his troops to follow me and pursue me to this place. And when they arrive there, you will then meet them there and battle them. And they will be given into your hands, is what Deborah says. Now, Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." Deborah said, "Certainly I will go with you. But because of the course you are taking, the honor of this victory will not be yours. For the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. I'll pick up in verse 17. Now this picks up with the battle that has ensued. And so Sisera is the enemy. Deborah again is the leader, and she's going to battle against Sisera. And then Barak is this other commander that's a part of the battle. So picking up in verse 17, Sisera, meanwhile, After the battle had taken place and they were being defeated, it says, Sisera fled on foot to the tent of, and here's the second woman, to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber. Verse 18, Jael went out to meet Sisera, the enemy, and said to him, Come, my lord, come on in, and don't be afraid. So he entered her tent, and she covered him with a blanket. And he fell asleep, laying there from exhaustion. And I pick up in verse 21, it says, But Jael did the unthinkable. She picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly or secretly to him while he was asleep from exhaustion. And it says this, she drove the peg through his temple into the ground. And you would imagine that he died. On that day, God subdued Jabin, the enemy. He was the king. And the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against Jabin until they destroyed him. Wow, the unthinkable happens in this passage. Something that seems so far-fetched and barbaric to us in these days. Both Deborah and Jael are women that God positions and equips so that he can use them in the battle. Now remember, our battle is not against other people. It's not against institutions that we don't like or against other governments. Our battle is against the devil, against Satan, the enemy of God. In this story, a foreign king is the enemy of God's people. But today, the devil is the enemy of God's kingdom. Let me say that again. In the story, a foreign king is the enemy of God's people. But today, the devil is the enemy of God's kingdom. That is the realm in which we do battle, in God's kingdom. And the devil is who we fight. Satan himself, the enemy of God, is who we fight. And just like God positioned and equipped Deborah and Jael to use for victory in battle thousands of years ago, God positions and equips women today in the battle to push back darkness in the lives of people, in households, and in neighborhoods. I believe more and more that this is what Jesus is commissioning his followers to do in Matthew 28. It's what he gave his disciples authority to do. Not to conquer the unbelievers of the world, but to prevail over the gates of hell and to push back hell's darkness. Sisters in Christ, I believe that this is an important message for us as a replanted church, a replanting of the Lord, one that we need to hold on to and not relinquish. I believe that you, sisters in Christ, are vital to what the Lord is doing in the world. God's kingdom is not a man's kingdom, and you are not second-class citizens in God's kingdom. Deborah was both prophet and leader. And Jael, who stayed close to her tent, was not to be dismissed. She possessed courage and strength and faith, and that woman had some audacity. In this replanting, you, sisters in Christ, stand on the same ground of faith. Like Deborah, some of you are called and gifted and equipped to lead and to prophesy, to teach and to preach. And it is the Lord, through his Spirit, who calls you and equips you. It's not a man who calls you. It is not a church who calls you. It is God, through his Holy Spirit, who calls you and equips you. Some of you are like Deborah, and some of you are like Jael. You might not think of yourself as anything but ordinary, with too little to offer the Lord. What would God ever do with somebody like me? I have nothing to offer him. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not a missions person. I don't really like to serve people or help people. I don't know how the Lord would want to use me. But do you know that's really up to the Lord and not up to you and not up to me? It's really up to the Lord to begin to work in your life and speak to you and call you and then to equip you and motivate you through His Holy Spirit and inspire you to get busy serving the Lord, to get busy in the battle that the Lord has in the world today. It is the Lord who equips you. Some of you are like Deborah, some of you are like Jael. You might think you have little to offer the Lord, but yet you are likewise called and gifted and equipped by the Lord. Listen, you are called and equipped and gifted by the Lord. Even if you think you have too little to offer, even if you think I've stuck around too close to home and I have nothing to offer to the Lord, I tell you, likewise, you are gifted and called and equipped by the Lord to display courage and strength and strong faith. Sisters in Christ, you are mighty women of God. And you are crucial. Hear me. You are crucial to the victory the Lord is bringing. To the victory the Lord is bringing about in this church. And to the victory that the Lord is bringing about through this church out into the world. You are crucial. And the victory that the Lord is bringing about in this church and through this church is for His kingdom. And it is for His glory. And sisters in Christ, you are crucial to that. Let me pause here. I want to be sure I'm communicating. Am I communicating? Yes. Now, I'm going to step off into, not the weeds, but I'm going to step off from the text for a minute and give a little bit of commentary. Robertsville Baptist Church is a Southern Baptist church, and I'm going to give you a little bit of commentary. Not a lot, but a little bit, because I think it applies to what I believe God is doing here, okay? Because it is much more important that we are a church that follows after Jesus Christ and pursues Him hotly and seeks to share Jesus with the world around us. That means so much more to who we are as people than the fact that we are a certain brand of Baptist. When I go out and I witness to somebody and share my faith and I want to lead them to Jesus, I'm not trying to turn them into good Baptists. I want them to meet the Lord. And I want Jesus to transform their lives. Well, nevertheless, a part of our tradition and our history as a church is that we are Southern Baptists. Now, I have to be honest with you and tell you, I have some issues with Southern Baptist life these days. I have certain reasons. If you want to find out more about it, I would certainly be willing to talk with you more about that. But unfortunately, Southern Baptists today are too dismissive. Not of women. They're too dismissive of the Holy Spirit. They're too dismissive of what the Holy Spirit does with women. As of this past summer's Southern Baptist Convention decision, today it's frowned upon and considered improper for women to pastor or lead God's people. I want to be clear. I could not disagree more. I believe it is the Holy Spirit of God, not a man and not a church, but the Holy Spirit of God who calls and gifts and equips anyone, whether a man or a woman, whether an adult or a child, or a senior adult. It is God's Spirit who calls and gifts and equips anyone who is willing. I've always heard it's not about ability. It's about availability. God is really looking for people whose hearts are just fully available to Him. And I just don't think God cares who that person is. He'll take that available heart, and then He'll call them and equip them and enable them and empower them and commission them and authorize them for leading and serving in God's kingdom and in Christ's church. And if you're taking notes, jot down these ways that I think, just a sample, ways that I think God calls and gifts and equips women, along with men, the young and the old, for serving God's kingdom and for serving Christ's church and leading God's kingdom and leading Christ's church, whether as a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, a prophet. You think we don't have prophets in this church? I'd encourage you to have a few conversations with some of our ladies, and you'll discover we have some prophetic voices in this church, and some men too. Whether a prophet, deacon, overseer, evangelist, server, organizer, creator, caregiver, ministry entrepreneur, missionary, church planter, church replanter, and whatever else the Lord deems necessary for His kingdom and for His church. You, my sisters in Christ, are ready and able, and I pray available, for God to call and equip for serving and leading. Sisters in Christ, listen. The Lord pours out His Spirit on you. Mighty women of God. To show the rest of us the kind of courage and strength and strong faith and Holy Spirit audacity that we need to be replanted and that we need to bring about victory for God's kingdom of light. So, ladies. Ladies, sisters in Christ, our moms and our grandmoms in the faith, keep on working. Keep on serving among us. Keep on leading the way. Keep on praying for us. Keep on preaching and prophesying to us. Keep feeding and clothing in Jesus' name. Keep on bearing the torch for missions, both across the street and around the globe. Keep on responding to the Spirit's leading. Remind us, please remind us of what it means to abide in the words and the presence of Jesus. Keep on reading the Scriptures and keep on building your home on the foundation of Christ. And hold us men accountable. And know that there's a sermon coming that calls us up to the plate as well. So sisters, we're glad that you are among us. And we are glad that you are our own Deborah and JL. And we are honored to join together with you, side by side, in the replanting of the Lord. To join Him out in this community. To push the darkness back so that the light of Christ can come flooding in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Before I pray, I want to say this. I want to kind of claim some ground here for us as a church, just so that we're clear about who the Lord has made us to be in years past, who we are today, and who I believe the Lord has continued to make us. I know that for some folks, it's a word that it might stir up a little bit of questions. And so if you feel like you want to have a conversation with me a little bit beyond what I've shared today, I'm very open to that. And you can reach out to me and we'll set up a time to sit down and talk more and share more about this particular important area of the life of our church. But I'm so glad that you're here today, and I'm so glad that the Lord has called us together to share, to be family together, and to share in this, to follow the Lord together, and to experience the Lord together in this place, to experience His presence, to experience the demonstration of His power through His Holy Spirit, to experience the manifestation of His provision for us, and to experience the kind of stability that comes to His church when we have and know and experience His protection for us. So Lord, this day I thank You for Your presence in this place. Lord, I believe that this is not something that we conjure up through our praying or through our antics. Lord, that Your presence here is a promise that You've made to Your people. That when we gather in Your name, that You say, I am there with You, in the midst of You. And so Lord, we welcome You. We humble ourselves before You. And I pray, Lord, that You would take Your people, Your body, all of us, Lord, women and men alike, young people and old people alike, that You'll take all of us, Lord, and continue to fashion, Lord, Your workmanship, what it is that You want to form and shape with this place and this people. You are the potter. We are the clay. And so You take this clay and mold it and shape it however You choose to, Lord. We want to be vessels that You can fill and that You can use. Lord, I thank You for the women that have been a part of my life and are today, who taught me about You and who are teaching me about You. I thank You for the women in my life that encourage me, that pray for me, that challenge me, that hold me to account, that remind me of who You are, Lord, in my life. I thank You for the gift of our sisters in Christ. And I pray, Lord, that You would encourage and edify and build us up, Lord. For Your glory, we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you for listening today, for being here.